welcome to Inspired Island, where every episode we sit down with someone living an inspired life here on Vashon Island in Puget Sound. From world-class artists and musicians to chefs and business owners, our little rural island has it all. I'm your host, Grace McCray, a new full-time Vashon Island resident, and thank you for joining me on this journey to discover why Vashon is such an inspired island. And hello! Today we are lucky enough to be sitting down with Tina Shattuck, who is doing some really powerful work here on Vashon to celebrate and connect women and girls in our community and really ultimately around the world. So welcome to the show, Tina.
Thank you so much for having me here.
As a woman myself who's still getting her bearings here on Vashon and getting to know the community in a deeper way, I'm personally really excited to learn more about your work. I know you're involved with a lot here on the island. Can you explain more about Women Hold the Key and what it does?
I can, although it's still sort of taking shape. It hasn't really figured out exactly what it's supposed to be. But it's brand new, so it's really just starting to make its way into the world. And really, it's in our local community here on Vashon, and it's in with a few, maybe 50 or 100 people outside of Vashon in the United States and some people in other parts of the world, but it's still pretty small. So it's my new baby and it's just birthing right now. It's really about very, very simple things. And it's really just about allowing women to recognize other women in their community, in their local community, as part of their tribe, people that they want to say, I see you, I admire you, thank you for everything you've done for me, thank you for helping me become the person I am, or also, I don't know you very well, but I really want to know you, and I want you to be part of my community. So it's a welcoming and a recognition. At the very simplest, the core is just to reach out and say to people in your community that you see them. Because that's really what we all want, just to be seen and to be heard and to know that we belong. That's really kind of all humans want in general. So really it's about individual recognition and then also connecting to community, and especially women and girls in community. Most of my work revolves around women in community, so it's really important to me. And I kind of feel like the world is telling us it's time. In all these different ways, both in response to stuff that's happening, that women are already stepping up and stepping into community in positions of power and making leadership changes and doing really amazing things. So it is time, but it's also really sort of time to gather our tribe. And I mean our individual sort of small tribe of the women that we really sort of resonate with, and then our larger community tribe, and then hopefully this global tribe. To move forward, make change, connect, be in community. The last thing is really about, so the proceeds are going to go to organizations that benefit women and girls, non-political, non-religious, but we had a community gathering, the first one that was open to the community of Vashon women last week or the week before, and I was able to give proceeds to the PAD Project, which is a great organization that helps women in India. So there's lots of opportunity for women who need resources, financial resources, to be supported through it.
I really like how you're really embodying the think globally, act locally mantra.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you go on Women Hold the Key, the website, you can see these amazing key pendant jewelry.
Right.
And could you tell us the story of why jewelry, why...
Well, I really wanted to be able to recognize my community in the world. I wanted to be able to be out in the world and potentially see women with keys and say, oh my God, you're part of my community. I've never met you before. I don't know who you are, but I know that there's a connection here. And what is it that you need? How can I support you? Or just to know that, oh my gosh, we have a connection. So really it's like a physical amulet that helps us recognize women in the world. That's it.
Yeah.
Just recognize our community. So many, there are lots and lots of things that have amulets that help you recognize what that community is.
Right.
Lots of religious icons that help you recognize stuff. You know, if you are in sororities, there's icons that, you know, like every place in the world, there are things that help you recognize what that community is. But I don't know that there's one just for women.
Right. And could you explain it for listeners who haven't seen
sure.
it online?
So I have three keys, and I wanted to do different keys at different price points because mm-hmm. I want it to be affordable. And I recognize that not everybody can afford this amount, but they can afford this amount. Mm-hmm. So really to keep them affordable, and they're actually designed, the design is based on keys that they found in ancient Viking women's graves.
Oh, cool.
And so what they think is that the keys were a signifier that the women were sort of the power centers and leaders of their community because men were off. They were off doing stuff, bad stuff most of the time because they were Vikings. And so they were kind of the power centers, and they found them in graves of all these women. And I just, that resonated with me. And the actual idea that's a physical key. So in, if you think about keys, they kind of unlock doors. They open, they provide access, but they also shut things and they provide protection. So that's kind of what the design was based on. And I just did three of them. I started out with one that was really, really heavy. And I gave it to a very small group of women and said, you are like my core group. And I realized that a lot of them actually couldn't wear it because they were so heavy. They were like, oh my God, that's lovely. I'll put it on my keychain. And so I knew that I had to do something else that was lighter. So I actually worked with a local designer, a Vashon designer, on the very first one. She basically, I said, this is what I think I want. And she created it for me. And wow. Her name is Kat McCadden. Her company is called Grace Gal. She's fantastic. And she brought a whole bunch of elements of the sea into it.
Yes, it has sort of like mm-hmm. a barnacle.
Barnacles, yeah.
Look.
So when we talked about barnacles and this idea that barnacles never grow alone. They always grow in groups. The water really, it connects us all over the world.
Yes.
Right? We're all surrounded by it. It all connects us. So we've got lots of really great elements in there. And just different sizes and different weights and different price points so that hopefully they're affordable to whoever wants them.
Women Hold the Key is now sort of fostering community through, you had your first event. Is that something you plan to continue to do on Vashon?
Yeah. So we'll have a women's community gathering once a month at Gather Vashon, the third Friday of the month.
Exciting.
Just to help people build community and to put together people in community who wouldn't maybe otherwise actually know each other, mm-hmm. you know, different age groups, different, you know, people who are doing different things. A whole bunch of people don't know who the other people are. And I really just want to put women in community to help them support each other, help each other out, provide resources if they need it.
And Tina, I'd love to go back in time.
Okay.
And we can circle back to Women Hold the Key, but I'd love to hear your personal history and sort of how you got to where you are today. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Alaska and then around here on the Hood Canal. So I've spent most of my life either up north or around this area, Seattle, Olympia, the Hood Canal. I've been here for a long time.
And what were you like as a kid?
I was a pretty quiet kid, and I'm still a pretty quiet adult. I think that people who know me peripherally would be like, yeah, I don't think so. But getting up in front of people and talking, especially about stuff that makes me feel vulnerable, is very difficult.
Mm.
So I always was kind of a quiet, kind of a shy person, and I'm not really all that much different. But the difference is now I'm 50, and there's something magic for women when they turn 50, either mm-hmm. good or bad. For me, it happens to be great, but yeah,
mm-hmm.
they just don't care anymore.
Yes.
What people think of them.
I'm
awesome.
Feeling a little bit of that already.
Are
in
you
my
a good? Oh, yeah.
30s,
I love it.
It's very freeing.
It is freeing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about growing up, were there any really influential women that stand out when you think about the first part of your life?
You know, funny enough, there weren't. At all. And I think I spent a lot of my youth feeling unseen and unheard. Mm. So maybe it was an absence of role models that I could connect to. And it might just have a lot to do with where I grew up and what my access was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have the internet. We couldn't look stuff up. We didn't even have computers. So
right.
It was really just books and magazines. And most of the stuff that I read probably didn't lead me to believe that I was capable of doing big, great things. There wasn't a lot of role models that I could think of. But when I left home and went out on my own, I got involved in theater, and there were lots of amazing women in theater together. We were all together, which was great.
When did sort of the idea of feminism and women's rights become something you were really thinking about?
Well, it really didn't become a lot of what I thought about until I actually had kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So really having children completely changed my perspective and my value system.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to think about myself as a mother with a whole bunch of young kids, because I have three and they were all, you know, within 5 years of each other, and what access I had, what my abilities were, how I sort of moved in the world, and how I was supposed to manage being a parent and also whatever else I was supposed to be doing, and how it's very difficult. So that's kind of what prompted me. And then my business partner, who is still my business partner now, but we both had really small kids and we were trying to figure out, what am I supposed to be doing?
Did you have a career before becoming a mother?
Yeah, I did. I was a technical recruiter in the high-tech industry. And I knew after I had my kids that I did not want to go back to that industry. I knew, first of all, like, you take 3 or 6 months off and you don't even know the verbiage anymore. Like, you don't even know what people are talking about. So I knew I was like, I had a really big sort of re-education sort of shift in order to get back there.
Right.
And I really just didn't, I knew I didn't want to do it. I don't really care. Technology is awesome. I use it all the time. And I have no interest in trying to find the people to work for companies like all of them, Amazon and Microsoft. It wasn't something I wanted to do anymore. And then I thought, well, what am I supposed to do now? And I couldn't work the hours that requires. I have three kids. There's
right.
No way. It's not going to happen. But then it opened up so much more questions. Like, who am I now? You know, what is it that I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
How do I align my values now with what it is that I'm doing? It was easy before I had kids because I was interested in money.
Right.
And then I had children. And I'm like, oh, wait a second. So they are going to live in this world too.
Yeah.
How do I want to be how do I want to impact what their experience is and who I am? And oh my gosh, now somebody's looking at me.
Yes.
As an example. Oh, geez. Oh no. Oh no.
The weight on your shoulders. Yeah,
right. Right.
And do you have any daughters?
I do. I have an 11-year-old daughter.
Okay.
Yeah. Who is a strong, independent, fierce, fierce woman, young woman, who is a lot of challenge to parents sometimes, but
mm-hmm.
I love who she's going to be.
Yeah.
Or who she is already.
So. That's really exciting.
Yeah, it's very cool. And then I also have two sons that I really want to help illustrate for them what it's like to be a woman.
I bet you they'll be big allies
well,
in the future.
I sure hope so. I mean, you can't ever, it's all just sort of like you throw stuff up in the air, or as I say, you throw it against the wall and you're like, does that stick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this parenting thing is really tricky.
Yes. I'm not a parent yet, except to a dog, and that doesn't really count. But I can only imagine how challenging to have these, these little faces looking up at you all the time.
Yeah, well, it calls into question everything that you ever thought was right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to reevaluate everything. Yeah.
And when your kids were little, were you already living on Vashon?
I was. I actually moved here, I think it was in December. No, that was my sister and I both moved here at very similar times. So
oh,
she
cool.
lives here too. And
aww.
She looks a lot like me, and she has my kids often. So she often gets stopped in the grocery store, or people are like, hey, and she's like, that's not me, I'm the other one. But she doesn't have any kids. So my sister and I moved here in 1989. I moved here in early 2000, and we started Cafe Luna together.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we're the founders of Cafe Luna. Yeah, so we really wanted to stay on island and get to know our community, and that was the way we did it. So, and the cool thing about Cafe Luna is, even today, it has only been owned by women. It's gone through 5 owners, I think, and they're all women.
Yeah. What was the idea behind Luna? Was that?
Well, guess what? It was an internet cafe.
Oh.
That's what it was.
Blast from the past.
Blast from the past, right? Because there was nowhere. Like, you couldn't go to the library and get online.
Yeah.
And people had dial-up, right?
Wow.
We didn't have high-speed internet access in 2000 when we moved here. We didn't. There was no such thing as wireless, was there? If there was, I didn't know about it. So we had an internet cafe, and that was sort of the draw, really, in, you know, that we wanted to kind of do two different things.
Super cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
And when you first came to Vashon, so it sounded like you had a community with your sister, but did you immediately start finding female friends?
I did. And that's really because I had the cafe.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I had a son who was born in 2002. So really not too long after that, I started having kids. And I was part of the Vashon Moria Cooperative Preschool for three. I've done it with all three of my kids. So a decade of going through co-op.
Right. I've
that
heard great things.
Is a really great
it.
Place
yeah.
to find community for that, sure.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And you mentioned your business partner, and I'm guessing you're talking about Cindy Scheer.
I am, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'd love to move into talking about Working Mothers Revolution and
sure.
how that came to be about.
Sure. So Cindy and I were sort of peripheral friends for a few years, and we kind of joined forces when we were both at the point where we thought, okay, I'm ready to maybe go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
And we both sort of independently were like, well, okay, I need some resource help here on how this might work. And we just both looked and we couldn't find anything. There was a little bit there, but it was so incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
Like, you know, $2,500 to go figure out what you want to do. Mm. No parent, no stay-at-home mother is ever going to spend that kind of money on themselves. Even
right.
if they can afford it, I just don't think they'll do it.
Right.
Because all your money, like all your resources go to your family. So we were like, well, how is this supposed to work? And so we kind of joined forces and tried to figure it out. And she has a ton of personal development experience, and I have a ton of human resources experience. And so right. together we kind of developed, and a lot of it was stuff that she had done in all of her personal development experience. We kind of put together this workshop that hopefully would take mothers through this process of like trying to figure out who they were now, what their values are now, what their needs are, what the barriers to going back to work are, how they can plan their day to make time for it. Just sort of like this process that would help moms who are kind of in the thick of it try to get some clarity around what it is they wanted to do. Am I going mm-hmm. back to school? I'm going to go back to the same work I wanted to do. Do I want to do different work? Like all these big questions. So we spent a couple years researching, testing, and developing a workshop.
And was that workshop in person?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in person. So yeah, we developed it to be sort of self-guided for a group of moms. So that you would just kind of gather 3 to 5 of your friends who were kind of like, oh, I'm not quite sure what I'm doing here. And you kind of go through this process together
cool.
and be support systems for each other as you were moving through.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Emotional support, physical support, you know, that kind of stuff.
What have been your favorite parts about Working Mothers
Revolution? I think the part that comes back for me is having women be in community together
mm-hmm.
and how incredibly it's inspiring. You know, it's really so cool to be in community and have women connect and recognize that they have sort of like sisters in this struggle or to celebrate or all these great things that maybe I took for granted when I was younger. You know, when mm-hmm. I was in my 20s and 30s, I had really lovely, awesome friends, and I still have some of them today, but I don't think I really recognized the value in that community. And I do now. So just seeing women kind of like, I get that. Oh, I get you. Oh yeah, I've done that. You know, just sort of that kind of magic that happens when women are in community. That's so unique to women in community.
What are you thinking these days when you think about, when you turn on the news or you read the newspaper and you see things like the Me Too movement, mm-hmm. but you see good stories like the Wave and diverse set of women who came into Congress after this
yeah.
last election.
Well,
I mean, not enough, but
no.
Way better than we were at. Yes,
it's a start. Oh, it makes me really excited for, you know, the potential that we have. It's incredible. And I recognize also that all women need to be able to try to do whatever they can to support their sisters.
Mm-hmm.
You and I sitting across from each other are white women of privilege,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole bunch of our sisters who don't have the privilege that we have or the opportunities or the access simply because of what their skin color is.
Yep.
Or where they grew up or what education was available to them. That's kind of the stuff that I'm hoping that I can help move forward in some sort of way.
And how do you educate yourself, and or how do you advise that other women educate themselves on these disparities and what we can be doing?
I don't know that I advise anybody on any of it, because it's still, I still come from a place of privilege. There are so many days when I don't even recognize what that looks like.
I know.
Like, I'm just now starting to get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait a second. I had the opportunity to either say or do that only because of what I look like. And so I think it's, for me, a personal journey. Like, what does that look like, and what can I do to support other women who don't have that opportunity? I can't really speak to what women should do, because I think that it's very different for everybody.
Yeah.
There are definitely some people who are just trying to hold together their own lives, and that's enough, right? I really don't ever want to say you need to do more, because whatever you do, if it resonates with you, that is enough. If it's just that you do something for yourself in your family unit, or, you know, for your neighbors, or you know, your community, your school, wherever you live, or if it's bigger than that for you, I think it's great. But I really feel like being 50 is, for me, an opportunity for me to say to myself, you're enough just the way you are. It's not ever going to look any better than this, which just goes downhill, right? It doesn't get better. So I have to be enough. And so I really hope that women can come from a place of being enough.
Right.
And then whatever happens outside of that is really just bonus.
I really resonate with that a lot as I've gotten older and care a little less about just myself.
Right, right.
Sort of opens your eyes. And I think I don't have the right words, because I'm still sort of awakening myself.
Sure.
But I think the wider community, particularly those of us who are lucky to live in places that are sort of more socially aware, I think we're living in these interesting times where it's taken way too long to get here. But I think I'm more and more realizing that as a woman, particularly, having a feeling of compassion for yourself, for where you're at, is actually the best thing you can do, because it can kind of open your mind and your defenses go down a little bit to thinking about
other people,
other people, more complex issues, questioning yourself, questioning your privilege.
Yeah.
I think you can do that a lot better when you're comfortable with yourself.
I agree. Or at least examining sort of like who you are.
Right.
And the places where you fall short, and then also really just being okay with who you are right now, this minute, today. And that really does have to be enough. Right. I think we're trained and we're taught that we have to sort of be all of this, which is impossible.
Right.
Who can be all of that?
Yeah.
And that really we're not enough in whoever we are. And you don't get to choose for me how I'm enough, and I don't get to choose for you, because we're very different.
Right.
So, yeah.
And on that note, thinking about Vashon specifically, what do you think about social activism / women's issues? Like, if you were to evaluate Vashon, the community, for where we are right now, do you have any thoughts?
Well, I think Vashon leans really liberal, which for me fits really well, because that's what I personally identify with. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I'm probably one of 25 Japanese Americans who live here, 50. And there's very little diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And there seems to be an us and them in terms of social economic disparity. You know, there's a lot of people who can't afford to live here anymore because it is so expensive. If I sold my house today, wouldn't be able to live here.
Mm.
So, I think as a place, I feel very fortunate that I picked this place and that I'm here. And there's some real, and a lot of what I feel is really, really great. And I also recognize that it's not very diverse here. I mean, we don't have to say it out loud. We can see it when we walk down the street.
Yes. I always see it on the passenger only boat,
yes.
Like coming from DC, which is a lot
very
more diverse.
Yeah.
Yep, it was kind of a slap in the face.
Yeah, you're
first.
Like, wait a second.
But then I questioned myself. I'm like, well, you're a white person moving to a predominantly white community. It's fascinating. I think we need to be having more of these conversations. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things I want to do with Women Hold the Key is just take this opportunity to really gather women based on something that's positive as opposed to a response to something that's negative.
Yeah.
So this is not about excluding men, although we are excluding them, because it's really about gathering women.
Yep.
And it doesn't have anything to do with what you believe politically or what your economic status is or what your religious beliefs. They fall outside of all those boundaries because it's so simple. It's just about women in community.
What's next on the horizon for you? Like, when you think about the rest of this year, is there anything that's really exciting you? You're looking forward to?
Well, I kind of, I really is just continuing. It's really kind of launching Women Hold the Key in a bigger way. I've done no social media around it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've done little things, but really it's just for my community here. But I have tons of bugs to work out on the back end. Like, what does this look like? What do communities look like? What kind of resources do we want to support them with? Is there just a Vashon keyholder community? Are there keyholder communities all over the world?
Right.
Who wants to start one? And what does that look like? And, you know, how do I support that? How do I support those communities to give them all the stuff that they need? Because I do. Yeah. I mean, it's really about support. And how do we bring everybody together? And really, what are we trying to say? What am I trying to say? And where does that money go? So it's really just sort of trying to figure out Women Hold the Key. So, you know, hopefully everybody will be really patient with me when I'm like, they ask me a question. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one.
That's really exciting. But you're creating a space for people to have conversations about that.
Well, hopefully I'm creating a space for people to be in community, and whatever, like whatever happens out of that cannot be bad. You just cannot have bad stuff happen when women get together.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
Well, Tina, we've talked about a lot, but we wanted to end every Inspired Island episode with this fun little quickfire question round. So the first question is, the Seattle area is known for good beverages, whether it's coffee, tea, beer, wine. Do you have a favorite beverage here on Vashon?
So many favorites.
Okay.
Yeah, I love both the new places where you can go and have a beer. There's so many great wineries, and, you know, I love Perry, and there's a couple really awesome places that have Perry. I don't drink a whole lot, so I don't have a ton of opportunities to, like, taste everything. But, you know, like, my go-to is coffee.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't have it, you wouldn't have seen me here today, right? It's just, like, necessary for me to kind of get going. So, coffee.
Do you have a favorite cup of coffee on Vashon, or do you drink them all?
I have to say Cafe Luna, right?
Because
I started that, right? Of course
on
I have
brand,
to.
Yes.
Of course, yes. So I'll say that, but I love Mingle Mint too.
And if you're not at home or work, where can people most often find you on the island? Do you have any favorite haunts?
Well, I love to walk, and I live on the Dilworth Loop, and so I walk there sometimes. I love Island Center Forest, although I don't go in there often by myself anymore because I've gotten lost too many times. I've done that. You know, I'm really a homebody, so I am fortunate enough to have like a 4-acre house. You know, I have a big yard, and there is almost never a time when I don't have an extra 2 to 17 children at my house. So when I'm not at work and I'm not at home, I'm usually at home.
Yeah. In the backyard.
Yeah, right.
Party at Tina's house. And do you have any pet peeves about island living? You've been here a while.
Oh gosh, do I have any pet peeves? The ferries are tough right now. So I do a lot of walk on and walk off if I have to go off and Uber and all that stuff. No, I don't really. I mean, I think I've lived here for 20 years, and there are things that I'm like, well, geez, Louise, why can't we have that? It mostly centers around my kids and what they have access to. But that's the trade-off. It's the trade-off. They get to go home and they could get on their bikes and leave for 2 hours and ride around the neighborhood. And I would feel comfortable with them doing that. And you couldn't do that in Finney Ridge or, you know, in Ballard anymore.
Yeah.
So that's the trade-off.
And do you have a favorite Vashon Island tradition?
Oh, well, when the weather was really tough earlier, Sabine, my youngest, said, oh my God, are we going to be able to ice skate this year? On Fisher Pond.
Oh, I didn't know they did that.
And it's only happened probably in the 20 years I've lived here 3 times.
Aww.
And it did not happen. It did never stay cold enough for long enough. But that is one thing we love. Maybe been three times or four times since I've lived here.
Must be magical.
It is. It's very, very cool.
Last question is, where can people find you or learn more about you and Women Hold the Key?
You can find me online at womenholdthekey.com. I have a pretty simple website, and you can always email me or you can actually call me. My phone number's on there, and just ask questions or ask whatever it is you need.
It's a really cool name, and I'm glad you grabbed the URL, too.
I actually grabbed seven around it. Like, women hold the key, women are key, you are the key. Like, all these, like, I don't know who we are, but better take them all.
Yeah. One of them will stick.
One of them will work, yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for coming
today,
Tina.
I appreciate it. It's
been great.
I appreciate your time and your interest. Lovely.
Yes.
Fun.
Excellent. Can't wait to watch and see more.
Thank you.
All right. And thank you all for listening. Again, you are listening to Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSH LP, Vashon Island, Washington. Until next time, stay inspired.